Welcome. This is the first and last episode of the series. I am your host, Anas Kanabi. Historians believe that there are three times when the Roman Empire split. The first time during Diocletian's reign in 293 CE, the second time after Constantine's death in 337 CE, the final and third time after Theodosius' death, who was also the sole ruler, in 395 CE. I believe that the Roman Empire split during 293 CE, which is during Diocletian's reign, for a number of reasons, whom I will mention later on in the podcast. The empire never truly recovered after it split the first time. After all, the West and the East were very different in culture. There were many factors leading up to the split of the empire in 293 CE. Political unrest and anarchy plagued the empire from 235 to 285. A shocking 27 emperors ruled during this time period, and more than 19 of them were assassinated. The people lost trust in their emperor, and for many reasons. These emperors were selfish and emptied the treasury on needs that didn't benefit anyone but themselves. Also, many of them fought expensive wars far from the Roman capital. As a result, the empire suffered financially. The Roman Empire was losing its prestige and its central authority was weakening. Army generals were acting independently and without the consent of the emperor. They were much more powerful than the emperor. The army themselves elected the emperors, and more often than not, these emperors were not fit to rule. The large territory of the empire was too large to be ruled by one man, and had enemies on all sides, not to mention the Persians in the east, who would remain a thorn in Roman history. Not surprisingly, these 50 years were seen as the low point in Roman history. During the 3rd century, Rome was once again in a period of civil war. Feeling that the empire was too large for him to rule it by himself, Diocletian completely changed the setup of the government. He had established joint leadership through a so-called tetrarchy, officially and peacefully dividing the empire into two, with the east being based on Nicomedia, and the West being based on Rome. There would be two rulers from now on, Maximilian in the West and Diocletian in the East. However, Diocletian made sure that he was superior. Each emperor had his own court, army, and administration. Diocletian did not intend for this change to be permanent. However, by 290, he realized that this joint leadership had worked remarkably well. This cooperation of two honest and strong rulers was incredibly successful and benefited the empire militarily and politically. Joint leadership meant that the leaders could now focus on both fronts. Diocletian silenced a revolt in Egypt. Galerius, who would be emperor later on, defeated the Narses of Persia and kept them quiet for more than 50 years. Maximilian, the other emperor who looked over the West, successfully dealt with Moorish revolts. In 296, the island of Britain was returned to the empire. With the borders now expanding, came an economic benefit, the availability and access to more resources, as well as more people joining the empire and entering the workforce. However, all this military success also had its cons. People would be taxed heavier in order to keep up with the demands of the army, who were now fighting costly wars far from the capital, and this angered the people. Nevertheless, the collaboration of Diocletian and Maximian brought prestige to the empire. On a different note, another positive of this joint leadership was how each ruler could deal with problems on their own side. When there is one ruler, an emperor could not focus on problems that take place on both sides of the empire. For example, when the Roman-Persian War first began in 92 CE, the emperor focused on the east side and the war more than the west. However, two rulers can, and equal attention would be given to both sides. In 305 CE, Diocletian followed by Maximian, made a shocking decision to step down from the position of emperor. That's when things went downhill. The successors were not as honest as they had been, and they soon started squabbling for power. People fighting for power is a recurring theme in world history. The list of battles and conflicts fought by people trying to gain power is endless, and the civil war in the US in the 1860s is only an example. Think about it this way. A huge portion, if not all, the wars fought are fought with the intention of gaining superiority, power, or wealth. Therefore, it is only fitting that people fighting for power to be a prime and recurring theme in world history. Taking it back another step, the conflict between important leaders in Rome resumed the cycle of civil war. The battles fought by Roman generals shifted from the exterior to the interior. It wasn't until 314 that Constantine reunited the entire empire, and the West and East joined together again. There was a short-term period of peace and stability. However, shortly after his death in 337, his successors began fighting again. Constantine had a very firm grip on the empire, and there was no one of his caliber worthy of being crowned. It wasn't until his son, Constantius II, that reunited the empire for the final time. When Theodosius died in 395, the empire was divided once again between his two sons, and it would never again reunite. These series of civil wars and conflicts fought by two, not including the Caesars, uncooperating emperors of the East and West was devastating for the western portion of the empire, and it collapsed only 80 years after the final split. However, the East lived for more than 1,000 years. Also, these conflicts emptied the treasury and burned resources and weakened the empire's hold on Europe. In fact, the West burdened its people with very heavy taxes in order to keep up with the support of the army, and not surprisingly, the Roman capital fell after the barbaric tribes seized the throne from the last Roman emperor. So what can we learn about Roman history and Diocletian's reign? It's very straightforward. Two smart and loyal emperors that are willing to collaborate together are most certainly better than one, and can achieve astounding results. It was only a shame that those unfit to rule were crowned. So is it recommended for empires to have done the same as Diocletian? Well, yes and no. His division of the government only worked because he had loyal Maximian to his side. And as evidence, his division became harmful to the empire after these two good rulers moved on, and those unfit took on the position. The two reasons why I believe the Roman Empire split is as following. The first one being that it was something that was never done before, and it had started the cycle of the empire splitting in two halves. If Diocletian hadn't decided to split the empire in 293 CE, then Roman history would have been completely different. The empire could have possibly remained as one for a longer time, and it would have split later on in its history. Secondly, it was the only time in which the empire had split peacefully and on good morals. The two splits which occurred during 337 and 395 were the result of civil war, conflict, and disagreement. When the empire split on good morals, there were successful results. But when it split due to disagreement, more conflict followed. On a separate note, there are two ways we studied in class. One was through important leaders, which is the podcasts, and now we're doing the dates. To me, I find studying in chronological order and in periods to be much more efficient. Studying this way makes it easier to remember when things occur and what led to certain events. Although periods are not precise and you wouldn't realize the difference between the end of the Bronze Age and the very beginning of the Iron Age, it still gives you a brief perspective of what took place during that period, and more importantly, it keeps track of time and makes it organized. One more thing to keep in mind before I end this podcast. The splitting of the empire into East and West is why we don't tend to study the East and the Byzantine Empire as much as the West. The West for a long time didn't get along well with the East. And since most curriculums are made in the West, the curriculum isn't based more on that side, and therefore the East ends up getting left out. This shows how the culture of the West and its hatred towards the East still lingers on today. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.